Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
6:02 in the AM, Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show on the Fan. Ed Norris, Rob Long, Jeremy Kahn on this fantastic Tuesday, top load Tuesday. We're getting some weather. According to Joe, the weather is transitioning.
Into what?
I don't know. Snow, maybe? I know Baltimore County, Harford County schools are 2 hours late today. I don't know about Baltimore City. I'll check on that. But I knew about Harford. Somebody sent me Harford yesterday. I'm like, you guys do know I don't have kids in school.
In case you were planning to go to a school.
Okay. Today.
Yeah. If you're going to school, they ain't open for 2 hours.
Read for the kids.
Maybe you're recruiting.
Rob, love the kids.
I mean, it ain't like you won by 70 or something.
Hey, you just didn't waste time.
What time is it? 6:02 in the a.m.?
You didn't waste time with that one, did you?
Oh. Rob came in this morning. Can I tell this story yet? Rob came in this morning complaining about a running clock in the second half because they could have won by 90.
That is not how that conversation went.
That's how
went.
I remembered. Ed, how'd you hear it?
I was in the bathroom.
It's not quite how that went.
So your Rosedale team starts off with a dub.
A dub on the road. Got to go back on the road today, weather permitting. To go to St. Mary Riken, tough team.
Do they have like a, and I'm being serious, do they have like a tiebreaker that's points scored on the road or like point differential against non-conference opponents that means something to you? He was telling me when he got in, he's like, and I don't think he even wants to admit this to his girls. He's like, I hope they score some more, man. They're just going
to. I can't go to work like this.
These guys are just going to roast me the entire time.
I cannot go. I was pulling for Digital Pioneer. Score!
He walked over and started calling plays for them.
For the love of God, score! Don't know those guys that I work with. Please, score.
It looked like they had a full court 5-on-5 tournament, and Rob found the only team that brought a 3-on-3 team. I mean, that's what... those games, by the way, as a coach, when you're on that... I would rather be on the side of getting my brains beat in than the other side of it because there's no rhyme or reason to it.
You got a kid going to Temple, couple of D2 kids. You know, I thought it would...
You guys are just a well-oiled machine, man.
No.
Because if you guys lose a game this year, it's probably coaching fault.
Yeah.
Too much talent there.
Yeah, way too much. Players win, coaches lose.
What's that? Another school wants him? Oh, is he going to leave? He wants to coach his team to a championship and then leave for more money?
What a douche. What a freaking douche that guy is, man. So you strung Ole Miss on to position yourself. Man. I would love to know how Ben McDonald feels to inherit this guy.
Well, the problem is the LSU fans are going, oh, you guys are just sour grapes. He's at a better place. He might be in a better place. I don't even fault him for taking the job. But the NCAA has to look at not only the transfer portal when it opens up for college basketball and football, allow these guys to finish and then get to the other part. But you know, the problem is he wants to go and recruit right now.
That's the problem. We always put the highlights. We do the same thing in the National Football League. We put the emphasis on what the players are doing. Meanwhile, other guys are screwing people over too. Hey, kids transfer too much, Ed. By the way, this guy's stringing your team along because he wants to see whether or not he's going to coach in the SEC championship game first. He waited until Alabama won to officially announce. Man, it's just, it's not right.
Mm. Okay, I couldn't be sorted with him. I've just, I've been saying with Lane Kiffin, I
was trying to like him.
I've never liked him.
I was trying.
For exactly this reason. I mean, it's not the first time he's done this. It's just the most noteworthy because they headed for a national championship possibly. And it's just awful.
And I think it's also noteworthy because it was just a huge documentary out a couple of months ago about how he's changed so much. And by the way, Lane, don't tell me again you prayed about it and God told you. I don't think God handles things this
Jeremy
way.
Jeremy brought it up yesterday.
I don't think God handles things this way. What I learned at good old Liberty University, there's a permissive will that, yeah, you know, I wouldn't do it this way, but I'm not going to strike you dead. I think that's what you're witnessing right now, that permissive will. This is not what God told you to do because it would be done a lot better than that. You wouldn't be lying to people, misleading people. That's not godly. Stop it.
Well, there's a lot of people that'll, I mean, look, he's, I don't know what he was praying for, the $5 million more a year that he's getting. Again, I don't think anybody should be mad at him for taking another job, but it's the way that everything went down. And the fact that he was one of the first people to go and post his, you know, my goodbye or whatever, I'm leaving the team. Hey, I just want to thank everyone. These mm-hmm. years have been so good. He was the first one to post something and then write that the players wanted him to stay and coach when that's not factually correct. And then all of a sudden, the LSU fans were like, see, the players wanted him to coach. Everybody just met. He just took a better job. And they did. This is when's the next time Ole Miss is going to have a chance to win a national championship? Like, legitimately. They're up there.
Can I tell you something? I'm going to be an Ole Miss cheering individual and the college football player. How would it be you left this school for a better chance to win the national championship and they win?
Yeah.
I'm pulling for them now.
I said that.
I've never pulled for them before.
You know I wanted him to win anyway. Now?
I'm pulling for him.
Oh.
That would be a story, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
And you know he's going to have – what is he going to want to do? He's going to want to go on the media tour to get the LSU brand out there.
Yeah.
Can you imagine him on a panel as Ole Miss plays for the national championship? How's that going to play out?
Yeah, Joe was just talking national signing days tomorrow.
Yeah.
Yeah. You're at LSU. You so want to make a big
think how many people do you think he flips?
From his team? Or
there was maybe thinking somebody else, and now they're thinking LSU.
The rumor is the two best players from his team, his quarterback Chambliss and his running back Lacey, are going to
transfer.
They've already entered the transfer portal. Yeah. They're going to be at LSU next year. So, yeah. I don't want to say he doesn't have to recruit. He does, clearly. But he's going to be bringing in talent through the transfer portal that he trusts, and now he's got to fill in the other spots for what he needs. There's already good players at LSU, too.
So you think he's doing it early now more for the portal than he is for the recruiting class?
I think for both.
Freshmen. But if you had to weigh one, what's more important to him right now?
Because you know what I think he would have done is he would have stayed on and coached his team, but you can't tell me that he would have been all eyes on his team when he's got all this other stuff going on for LSU. Like, it just can't happen.
See, now that you've raised the flag for me a little bit, I think it's more for the portal. You know why? He's got to go in and win now.
Yeah.
You win now with experienced veterans.
Well, I mean, he's already coming in with his backfield set then. That's the way it sounds, unless something changes, but...
What if they win the national championship? Those guys, Chambliss and...
They're already in the portal. Like, Lacey's already in the portal.
You can get out of the portal.
Okay. Well, put your foot in, put your foot out. Shake it all about.
Go ahead and shoot me in the pinky toe.
The shame when that guy died, they couldn't get him in the casket.
Which?
The hokey pokey guy.
Oh,
yeah. He put his right foot in, he took his right foot out.
Stupid. I love these dumb jokes. You missed yesterday when
I
talked.
Did I really miss?
Yeah.
Was it really a miss?
I had the statement at the end of the show that if you're a junior or a third or a fourth, and Ed, you happen to be a
junior.
I'm a junior.
Yeah.
Robbie's a third.
That means your mom has screamed out your name in passion. During passion. No? Nobody wants to hear this? Guess what? I ain't a junior, a third, a fourth. That joke does not affect me.
We give out shovels at 7 o'clock. Well, this a-hole on the other side, even with the division lead on the line, does it feel like this game against the Pittsburgh Steelers has no juice? Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show on the Fan.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Crimes Of is a weekly series that explores a new theme each season, starting with the true crimes that inspired Hollywood's most iconic horror villains.
Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Oh, Juicy Fruit. 6:15 in the a.m., Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show on the Fan. Ed! You got any juice for this game coming up against the Steelers this weekend?
Yes.
You do? Why? Yeah.
It's the Steelers.
Steelers week?
Yeah, I'm serious. It's Steelers week. I said that in a promo yesterday. I said, I don't care what the record. It's still important. It's Steelers week. There's something about that. If you've lived here long enough, you're from here, if you've been a fan of this team, I've been a fan of the team for 25 years now. And, like, I swear, my body reacts. When I see a Steelers sticker on somebody's car, or somebody in a Steelers sweatshirt. Even when I'm traveling, I always
your have body reacts.
Something. I say,
does it move for you?
Yeah, a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
nice.
But I also make sure they see my Ravens logo if I have something on. It's just something about it. It's just, you know, you've lived it all these years. These games were important. They played a lot of important games. I think there's a true dislike for each other. It's fun.
Jeremy, you feel anything this week?
I mean, I think you have to, even record included. I mean, whoever wins this game is in first place.
Yeah.
So, I mean, everything you could want, you have in this game, except for two teams with great records, right? I think in Pittsburgh, they're probably looking at Baltimore saying, do you see what they did against Cincinnati? Even when we lost to Cincinnati, we still scored a ton of points. Mm-hmm. And that was on the road on a short week. And now you're looking at it, there's stuff out there like fans wanting Tomlin fired, rumors circulating, and all these things that are going on. But make no mistake about it, it's Steeler week, and the first thing that you have to think about is if you beat them, now you're one leg up at first place, and you had 10 days to get ready for this, so they have to come out and play well, because if they don't, I think we're all going to question the rest of the season at this point.
You know what's funny? You know, when people try to prove this is the best rivalry in football, remember that time? Raven fans, this is the best rivalry in football. It's the only rivalry that record doesn't matter. Now that your teams are 6-6, both of them, now, all of a sudden, you have no juice for it because these two teams stink. Wait a minute. You were trying to prove to us years ago, when both of these teams were at the top of the AFC, that it was the best rivalry in football. Well, the best rivalry in football, if Duke and North Carolina played this year and they weren't top 25 teams, guess what? It would still matter to Chapel Hill and Durham.
Mm-hmm.
It would matter. Matter to the country, to be honest with you. You know, so don't give me these two teams aren't playing their best, so it doesn't matter. It matters to me. I still hate Pittsburgh as much today as I did any other day. I do.
Yeah.
I love Mike Tomlin, but I hate the Pittsburgh Steelers.
I don't think that changes at all. Like, the fact that, again, in true rivalries, you consider, like, the Packers were beating the hell out of the Bears, and maybe you don't feel like your rival, but at some point, it's going to even back out, you think, and the team's going to get good, and you're going to have that rivalry again. The history there is what draws you in. And I know people say
it. I think they're at that point now. I think the Bears are legit.
Yeah.
And I don't think the Packers.
Yeah, sure look like
they got two good quarterbacks, Love and Williams. And I think they're two young quarterbacks. Well, they are. I think that rivalry has just been rekindled.
Mm-hmm. Did you know they said if Caleb Williams makes it to the Super Bowl, He will be the, outside of Rex Grossman, the only time it happened, he would be a bottom five passing quarterback in this league to make it to the Super Bowl.
Say it again?
He would be in the bottom five in passing, making it to the Super Bowl. And
that was the last time it happened, right?
Was Rex Grossman.
Okay.
On a number one seed. So, like, the fact that you're number one seed. Yeah. So, like, you look at those things and say, okay, well, what's improved on the Bears? Because they've been stopping the run. They've been better at it. And, I mean, you sit here and talk about how great Ben Johnson is. He went in and said, you know what? You guys are going to stay in that too high safety look. We're going to run the football right down your throat, and there's nothing you can do about it. And that's what they did. They had two 100-yard rushers on Friday. So, as much as I think the Bears are, like, a year away, I mean, it's...
Yeah, Joseph completes 58% of his passes for a rating of 88, which isn't good. However, 17 touchdowns, only 5 interceptions, which is pretty good.
For Williams?
Yeah.
Or, yeah.
17 touchdowns to 5 interceptions. That's pretty good.
Yep.
4-10, 5-8-3.
But we are in week 13 and it's 17. Or we just finished week 13 and it's 17 touchdowns.
Well, at 17, but I'm talking about the ratio. 17 to 5 is good.
100%, yeah. But I'm just saying, like, for a starting quarterback, at this point of the season, to average, what? How many did you say it was?
17.
Just over a touchdown a game? Is that good enough to, it's good enough to be the number one seed, apparently.
You know what's funny about that? You would think if they have 17 or 18 passing touchdowns, because DJ Moore has one, so they have 18 passing touchdowns, and they're the number one seed. They have to have a ton of rushing touchdowns, right?
They don't.
They have 15. They have fewer rushing touchdowns than passing, and only have 18.
That's why their point differential is negative. When they win, they're close games, and a lot of times they're lower scoring games. When they lose, they've been blown out a couple of times.
410-583-1057. That's the number. Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show on the Fan. And you and I have some juice. The three of us have some juice. Wait a minute. Joe, let me get you in here. Does this game lack juice to you? You came up with the question. Does this question represent you as in having little to no juice?
No juice.
None? Why?
None?
Why?
Both quarterbacks suck and they're injured.
Mm-hmm.
Oh.
Coaches, both fan bases want the coaches gone.
Did you mean both of their quarterbacks suck or the Ravens and the Steelers quarterbacks suck?
Okay. Mason Rudolph might be better than Aaron Rodgers right now. That might be like a better call for them. Yeah. I don't know what's going on with Lamar.
So you did mean Lamar sucks right now?
Kind of.
Okay. No, I just want to.
Has been good.
I just want to clarify I think both statements right now are true.
Right now he does.
Okay.
But Steelers quarterbacks suck.
Both of their quarterbacks suck. And right now, both quarterbacks aren't playing well if you include Lamar and everything. Right. And by the way, it still rings true what I said. If you don't have the fumble through the back of the end zone and they don't call that BS pass interference with the hand fighting, I think we look at Lamar's game a lot differently than we look at it with the fact that those two things didn't happen.
Well, the only thing that was missing on that play, the fumble in the back of the end zone, was the touchdown. The yards still stand.
Yeah, yeah. But I'm saying, like, if he comes out of a game with a couple of touchdown passes and deep ball passes, I don't think people are saying the same thing. But again, I'm not arguing that he's playing well. He did not play well in that game.
So to get back to you, Joe, so the two quarterbacks sucked. Both fan bases want the coaches gone. And?
The biggest story about the game, it feels like, is which team cannot suck as much as they
No,
as they
Joe, the
been.
Biggest story of the game is who comes out of this in first place in the AFC North. That's what.
But
comes
I'm
out
saying
of this.
The way that will happen is which team doesn't mess up as much as they've been doing recently.
Okay, fair enough. 410-583-1057. That's the number. Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show on the Fan. Joe, do you think you represent the majority of the people that's going to be in that state? Okay, people coming to the Ravens game. Let's talk about the majority, not the minority. The majority. Will they come in waiting for a reason to jump on their team, or will they come in expecting their team to show up Sunday?
I really don't know. That's a really tough question. I would say I would say that Ravens fans are waiting to see the team that they think they have.
And I think the Ravens fans are waiting for a reason to pounce on their team.
Well,
that's just because of that kind of city.
I was going to say that, but I think they're going to go in hope. The difference is, I think, a lot of people going to the game are the real fans because they're going to the game. I mean, I don't know, the weather's going to be Sunday, but it's December. It's going to be cold. They're not playing well. But the Steelers are coming to town. So I think those people go. I think a lot of people in town are basically are already sour on the Ravens because we all hear the talk. People come up to you in public. You hear it on the calls.
Yep.
you know.
How many people do you hear saying, Ed, I'm going to this game, but I don't know why?
Yeah.
Those are the ones waiting to pounce.
Yeah.
I don't know why I'm going to this game. 410-583-1057, that's the number. Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show on the Fan. I have some juice for this game, as I said before. So does Ed. So does Jeremy. Because it's the Steelers. And by the way, folks, I don't know if you know this, but even at 6-6, your team is in first place. I was talking to Hopper, the guy you met at Home Depot. And he's a Saints fan. Other than Ravens fan, he's a Saints fan. And he says he remembers when his team went on the road.
To Seattle.
To Seattle, who was 7-9 and got their asses whipped.
Yeah.
It can happen, folks, because you're at home. Mm-hmm. Let's go to Manny in Essex. What's up, Manny?
Hey, buddies. Good morning. Good morning.
Good morning, morning to you.
Listen, guys. I still admit Ricard is the most important piece on that team. But we got to hang in there, boss. Listen, we're playing bad. And, I mean, if I don't give me the coach, who would take his place? There's not a lot of people that can. I mean, Harbaugh is a pretty good guy. But if we can beat Pittsburgh this week, okay, Lamar has to, I mean, I know he's hurt a little bit. Put a little more grit into the game. Play a little harder. I mean, listen, because our divisions are still. I mean, Pittsburgh's not all that. I'd rather Rodgers
play. Yeah, they are. Patriots are good, man. Stop. They're good.
Not the Patriots.
He said Pittsburgh.
Oh, Pittsburgh. Okay, all right. I'm sorry.
Yeah. Then
I think he said both teams.
I want Rodgers to play because one team's going to beat us, I think.
Well, look, again, this New England team outside last night was a weird game, too. The field goal, the fight that almost happened. By the way, I love the fact that guys are going to stand up for their quarterback in last night's game. He wasn't out of bounds. If you're going to play that game and tiptoe down the line, your ass can get lit up.
You became a runner.
Yeah.
You became a runner. Shovels at 7 o'clock. Don't go anywhere. We got plenty of those. But on the other side, a Harbaugh and Tomlin at the crossroads when it comes to their relationship with their respective teams' fan bases. Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show on the Fan. You know, there's a lot of conspiracies I don't like on social media. And we're not going to talk about this game, so I'm going to throw this in here. Jarrett on Facebook says, born and raised a Giants fan, the last 10-plus years have been really hard. No one says it, but they've been cursed since McAdoo bitch Eli to end the consecutive game streak for no damn reason.
They've been cursed since that whole picture.
I'm with you, because there was no reason. Look, you can't spell elite without Eli. There's no reason to bench that guy in his consecutive game streak. Well, he wasn't hurt. He just wanted a point to prove.
I want to find, what's the Giants' record since that boat picture? Remember when they were all getting ready for the
playoffs? Listen, I don't care about facts. The narrative is this one right here.
No, they are 40-92-1 since the 2017 boat picture.
Your facts don't mean anything. It's all about Eli.
It had nothing to do with Eli.
Wasn't that the same week they benched Eli?
Maybe, I don't know. They're 40-92-1 since they took a picture on a damn boat.
I don't know if it is or not.
Sorry, asses.
John Harbaugh, Mike Tomlin, are either of these guys at the crossroads with their fans? I'm not talking about fired by their teams. But, Jeremy, are they at the crossroads with their fans?
They both are. Look, if you've been coaching this long, at some point you get questioned. Whether it's the message has gone stale, he doesn't know what he's doing. And, by the way, for everyone that's talked badly about Harbaugh here in Baltimore, they're saying the same thing in Pittsburgh about 100%. Mike Tomlin.
They were chanting the other day, fire Tomlin, 100%. At the end of the game.
And I told you guys, and look, it's out there, so we'll talk about it, but like people are trying everything to get him fired. Somebody had leaked out the story that he impregnated a 30-year-old bartender, and what does that have to do with anything? Huh? Good girl.
Don't you do it.
What?
Nothing.
No, I wasn't going to. Okay. What did you think I was going to do? Anyway, no, but I'm just saying, like, that story comes out, and it's like, people will throw mud at you to get you fired in any way possible. What?
That did it to me here. I mean, I've been through it.
Oh, like, well, go ahead.
No, I'm just saying, I've been through it here. People wait, and then when they see an opening, the people just came out of the woodwork.
It's like the George Brett Pinetar thing. Nobody says anything until he hits a home run, and then he loses his mind, and it's after the fact. And, like, it's all these people that... It is funny in society how everyone wants you to fail.
What's funny? You know, I learned, John Miller taught me this. I had him come down and teach our command staff that had to deal with the media. And he said, the only thing the media likes more than building someone up is tearing them down. And they will do that to you. And that's exactly what they did here. I mean, think about it. And then when I was in trouble, then all these stories started, and they weren't even true. Like, I was in the Washington Post for leaving the scene of a DUI. said the troopers let me go. You know why? My car was in the shop. I took my son to McDonald's in the state car. I break the turn signal. The turn was tight, and I ended up cracking the turn signal. I put it in the shop to replace it. Somebody hit the car when it was in the body shop. So there was a
lot. They draw the conclusion that you were in a DUI.
In the book, it said, leaving the scene, car one. My car, car one. Leaving the scene of an accident. Because somebody left the scene. The car was on the street. They hit it and took off.
Oh, my God.
So the Post, without calling me, puts a story in saying I was involved. And then I had to go. I was investigated by the state.
So let me ask you a question. Okay. I can understand how they come to the conclusion you left the scene of an accident. Mm-hmm. But where did DUI come?
The assumption.
Well, whoever fed them the story added that, you know.
Because I mean, is it because the car didn't get driven home? Is that why?
I can even understand them saying, yeah. Hey, Ed Norris left the scene of an accident. Okay. I can see how you drew that conclusion. I don't understand where the DUI part came in at all. That part is reaching, making up stuff. That's like saying, you know, the Ravens took their gang video games out of the locker room and the coaches did it. And no one told you that. You just threw in the coach's part because it sounded good.
But think about it. Whoever made that call to the newspaper had an agenda anyway on something they probably knew was not true.
Well,
and it was just meant to, you know, because I was under investigation.
Was it ever radio in that the car was hit?
I have no idea. It was in a logbook.
Okay.
Yeah. No, I wouldn't have been radioed in.
Well, if it's in a logbook.
It was in a body shop.
Did the media come in and see it themselves? In the logbook? Don't they get a right to that?
They could.
Yeah.
Yeah. Do I know? I don't know if they FOIA'd it. But, I mean, somebody in the agency could make that phone call.
All right. Nonetheless, these are two coaches who are at the crossroads of their careers with their fan bases. Again, we're not alleging that they're about to get fired, either one of them. I don't know either way on that. But I do think the fan bases with both of them got to the point where they're tired of them. I know Ravens fans, a lot of Ravens fans that were in team camp or Camp Harbaugh are now saying, you know, when you get things from fans, Ed, like, I like Harbaugh, but I understand if they let him go. That means you want to hold on to the fact that you've been defending them for years. But
I got to say something I observed this weekend. Tomlin doesn't look well.
He doesn't, does he?
Did you notice? He aged 10 years in the last year.
He looked like the guy that's been president of the United States. Yes. He comes in like, you know.
Yeah, like Obama.
Like Barack did. Yeah. Yeah, Barack went in, looked like he could run a marathon, came out like he had a marathon run on him.
Well, but Tomlin looked like thin, old. His eyes were bugging out more than usual. Like, he just didn't look good.
I mean, do you think any of this stuff's getting to him?
Yes.
Whether it's pressure from the personal life or pressure from.
I'm wondering.
Yeah.
Because he looks like he aged 10 years.
According to you, he's raising a young kid.
Who?
Tomlin.
I'm not that big of a pappy. 30-year-old. He is a young kid.
No. The 30-year-old, he's pregnant.
I got you.
So he's, you know, getting up late at night, early in the morning, changing diapers. It's tired. Hey, man, 50-something years old.
Yeah. I got to be at work by 4 in the morning. See you in the offseason.
Yeah, I'm with you, though, Ed. I was pointing that out on Sunday. Like, hey, you know.
It was noticeable, man. It was noticeable.
410-583-1057, that's the number. Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show on the Fan. Do either of these guys, is there a chance that either one of these coaches is not coaching for their team in 2026? And I'm not talking about just getting fired. Because one of them could say, you know what, screw this, man. I'm tired of this. Because there's some coaches opening that they could say, they love me over there.
One of them's definitely missing the playoffs. So, like, there's no question about that. So, if the caveat is if they miss the playoffs, do you think they're gone? We were talking about it. It's like, what would it take for Bisciotti to fire Harbaugh or move on from him, especially after signing the extension in the offseason?
I don't think that means anything.
It may not. But again, he's been here for a long time. So, like, how long is the leash? Okay, you had a down season. Mm-hmm. All these things went awry. You're starting to put it together. Can they blame it on injuries? Can you point at this? There's a lot of things. Like, I don't even feel like people have come back and said sorry to Zach Orr after the way the season started. Because was it him or was it the players? Did he all of a sudden learn how to coach in the middle of the season?
Yeah, and the offense is what's really hurting us now.
It's so weird how it's taken a total flip.
We're giving out shovels at 7 o'clock, but on the other side, had the Boston Red Sox and Toronto Blue Jays put the pressure on the O's to get a frontline starter? Did Boston and Toronto overpay for their new pitchers? I know Jeremy wants to weigh in on that. Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show on the Fan.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Crimes Of is a weekly series that explores a new theme each season, starting with the true crimes that inspired Hollywood's most iconic horror villains.
Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
The Boston Red Sox and the Toronto Blue Jays went shopping in the offseason for pitching. Ed Norris, in your opinion, did they put the pressure on the Baltimore Orioles?
I'd say yeah, because I heard the Red Sox are also in the market for Pete Alonso. So I think this, you know, they're looking to make themselves better. Toronto, you know, pretty damn good last year. They make a big splash with the pitching. So yeah, I would say they're putting pressure on them. I think, you know, look, the Orioles are in last place. I'm sure they're imposing a lot of pressure on themselves, and watching other people in the division make moves is not helpful. But they're moving. They're doing things. So I can't say they're not.
Jeremy, you think Toronto overpaid for their acquisitions?
Vastly. Mm-hmm. But the problem is now is that I think you're going to have to for pitching. I did read something that said Framber Valdez's market is not as great as you think, that some people want to, you know, like he might have to sign a shorter prove it type deal. But yeah, I don't like. There's none of these signings are really blowing me away. Like, would I like to have Dylan Cease on my team? Yes, I'm not telling you he's a bad pitcher. What I'm telling you is that contract ain't gonna be worth it midway through it.
No,
like that's wasted. That's dead money.
They'll get 3 years out of him.
Yeah,
they'll eat the last four.
And
now, you saw when Boston did that before. We always say Boston ate that up before. No, Boston got eaten up by that. Remember, they went with the last place 2 or 3 years, if I'm not mistaken, because they were. Paying off contracts that just
is that when they had Jacoby Ellsbury? Not recently.
Yeah.
If anybody missed it, I said Jacoby Ellsbury instead of Jaron Duren last week. You play center field for the Red Sox?
You're Jacoby Ellsbury. You think they put pressure on the Orioles?
I mean, look, there has to be pressure, but I think the Orioles have already put enough pressure on themselves. There's nothing outside of this organization that's going to sit here and say, yeah, we have to do this because they're doing that. They already know what they have to do. And for people that are complaining, the only thing that Elias hasn't done that he said he would do before the season started is getting a frontline starting pitcher, which I think that's happening.
What do you think? What are the chances you think they'll get from Valdez? Are the chances greater since if the market is not as good as you think, are the chances greater?
I think what he'd end up doing is signing that 2 year, you know, you get a higher money per year, whatever. Mm-hmm. Like you throw him a few extra bucks. Maybe he even gets the opt out or something after the first year, like you gave Helsley. But the other thing I saw with Helsley is if he gets traded, he gets $500,000 too. There's another link. Mm-hmm. So I don't think.
See, here's the thing.
Oh, we didn't talk to you about Helsley though. What'd you think of that?
I loved it.
Yeah.
Didn't see it happening. Loved it though. Yeah, I didn't see that happen. That was like a, wow, that's pretty good.
I was surprised. I like it too.
I liked, some guy sent me a message telling me what a terrible signing it was because guys hit 420 off of Helsley on his fastball. And I'm like, I want to look that up to make sure it's accurate. But even if it is, it's a small sample size. So like, if they hit 420 off his fastball, then how good was his other stuff because they didn't hit over 400 off. Right. Look at his numbers.
He only throws fastball slider, really.
I mean, it's just like people write the dumbest things or take such a small sample size and then say that's who you are. Like, I'm literally arguing with people in our YouTube chat that guys are saying Lamar Jackson's overrated and he stinks. Yeah, two-time MVP, best passer rating in NFL history. Yeah, why would you want him?
I want to go back to DeFramba, though. The only way I would give him that opt-out after the first year is if it was absolutely necessary. Because I think Framber Valdez is going to come here and tear it up. And I don't want him opting out now holding ransom or re-signing him. Mm-hmm. So if it's absolutely necessary to give him that, that's the only way you can get him, I'll give it to him. I'd rather give him an opt-out after 2 years, a three-year deal, opt-out after the second year. I'd rather get him that because I think he's going to come in year number one and absolutely light it up. I don't want him walking. And I don't want to have to pay him $27 million for that 1 year, and all of a sudden it goes up to 35, 40, because he tears it up like I think he's going to. So I don't like that deal.
Yeah, well, I'm just saying, like it's
you may have to, but I don't like it.
Well, that's the point I'm making: is if you have to, if you're gauging what's out there, like what if they did that? What if they did that with Helsley, and he's got two other offers, and he's like, okay, he wants a prove-it year because he wants better than what he had, and coming in and getting a closer and getting that final big contract for him. So he wants to do that. He gets the player option. What if that was what it took to get him in here?
For those of you who think your buddy Felix is coming back this year, Bautista, that Helsley deal says no.
I don't know
what Felix is ever going to be after this. If we go from Tommy John to shoulder surgery, I don't know if Felix, as we once knew, is ever going to be Felix again.
That sucks too. Like, that injury was just brutal. I mean, we've said the same thing to about Grayson Rodriguez. Remember when they traded him? Everybody's like, oh, I can't believe they did that.
I told you this thing was going to be bad because it was shoulder, not Tommy John. And that's different, man. It's really shoulders. They're tough to recover from because it's not like a hip joint. It's not a socket. It's a golf tee, and it just sits there. And having that, if you pitch for a living, that's a tough thing to recover from, man.
You don't know.
Okay.
Actually, he does. This is one of the few things you could sit here and call somebody an expert on something. Ed, what did you do to your shoulder?
Which one? The right one's replaced. The left one was shattered. The glenoid, the socket was shattered like a dinner plate. My arm was hanging down. It was paralyzed. Didn't move.
But other than that, it's okay?
It's okay because of Dr. Curl. She awesome. Bolted my socket back together, literally put screws in it. And then eventually the arm bone worked its way back up onto it.
Really?
Yeah. I lost my shoulder. My left shoulder's atrophy. It's like there's no nerve work. It was bad. Mm. Real bad.
You know, Jeremy, we talk about the pressure that these two teams put on the Orioles. I'm looking at Sonny Gray. 2 years ago, Minnesota, 32 starts, 2.79 earned run average, 184 innings pitched. 2024, 3.84 earned run average, 166 and a third innings pitched. The strikeouts went from 183 to 203. Last year, 32 starts, which is impressive, 4.28 earned run average, and his strikeout to walk ratio was 5.29. Do you think, he's 36 years old.
Mm-hmm.
Who are they getting in Sonny Gray?
See, that's the problem is that, honestly, we don't know. Like, I wanted to go back.
His numbers have gotten progressively worse.
There's something that, for some reason, I feel like, and I'm just now looking it up. I haven't looked at anything yet, that the end of his season made his numbers look way worse than what they were. And I don't know if I'm right in that or not. But, like, the fact of the matter is, when you start looking at what this guy has done over the course, he can definitely catch lightning in a bottle for a season. He has that. But as you've pointed out before, even with Corbin Burns, when your strikeout numbers start dipping, you have to learn a different way to pitch. He does get ground balls. He has been a guy that routinely, I think he can get you innings. So, and that's not something that fans are really going to care about. Yeah, I want a guy that can come in and pitch. And
two bad starts that made his last 10 starts look bad.
Yeah, but his
he had six. He gave up six runs against the Yankees.
His June was bad too. He had a six runner in there. Okay. He had an 8, a 6, a 3, a 4 in July. So, yeah, I mean, overall, like early on in the season, I felt like he was pitching better. But I guess he did kind of hover around. Oh, so here it is. At the beginning of June, he had a 3.35.
Okay.
And then it started to go down from there.
Ralph Russo joins us at 8 o'clock to talk some college football. Don't go anywhere, but on the other side. Top of the 7 o'clock hour, Ed Norris, we're giving out shovels.
Yeah, I'm going to give one to Abdul Carter. We should discuss this a little bit.
I like this. Even if it isn't true, I like this.
Yeah. And I got a little personal story to attach to it.
If you have a shovel, give us a call. Give us a text, 410-583-1057. Hit us up on Twitter, at BBMS1057 The Fan. Shovels next.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey there, we're Corinne Vienne and Sabrina Deanna Roga here to introduce our newest podcast, Crimes Of, a Crime House original.
Crimes Of is a weekly series that explores a new theme each season, from crimes of the paranormal, unsolved murders, and more. Our first season is Crimes Of Infamy, the true crime stories behind Hollywood's most iconic horror villains.
Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.